James chapter number 5 and verse number 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth but the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Elijah was a man. And for the sake of a text today, as we are. Father God, we are here again, partly because of the kind invitation of this board and congregation. But God, more so, we are here because we are indebted to you. Woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel. So help me, O God, today that I will not seek limelight nor the applaudance of my brethren, but, O God, that anointing that somehow transforms a man and makes him a prophet in the sense of the New Testament. O God, that thy spirit would settle like a canopy of glory over this whole campground this week. That we would sense that there's a presence of God deeper and richer and more wonderful than we'd ever imagined. And then, Father, would you just stretch forth your hand, make bare your arm, and confirm your word on the altars with healing and deliverance. And we'll give you the praise for it. But we ask it in Jesus' name. And the congregation said, amen. Amen. Elijah was a man. The main discourse of this message that I have today, found it here in 1 Kings 19. There is two things that I see here that I think we need to talk about this morning. The first thing I see here is the human despondency, the depression. And then in the midst of that, I see the divine encouragement. Elijah is probably one of the greatest figures in the Bible. In many, many times and instances, he stands next to Moses in the Old Testament. On Mount Horeb, which later would be named Sinai, was where Moses first saw the burning bush, where Moses received the Ten Commandments. Where Moses would climb that mountain the final time and look into the promised land, die at the kiss of God and be buried there on this mountain. But it's, I want us to look at something here. In spite of the fact that Elijah is probably one of the greatest prophets, men of prayer and of faith and of power that the Bible records, he's a man. When I look at him, I look at him and I realize I'll never attain to the statute of his prayer life. I'll never know the experience of pulling fire down from heaven and consuming a sacrifice. Of learning great victory over 400 false prophets. In those things, he stands alone. But when James said he is as we are, the other day I looked at that and I realized I'll never stand with Elijah here, but I'm standing with him under the tree. Amen. For you see, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where in life you are. I thought Brother Lindell said last night, you're standing here with a smile on your face. Preacher man, I thought about 4 o'clock this morning. You're just saying, yeah, everything's all right. But yet in your heart of hearts, you're out there in that, under that tree with this man. Amen. But you see, there's not one of us here today, not one of us that have ever not known a time of depression, a time of indescribable fear. If you've never been there, hang on, you will be.
When it's the midnight hour, oh, we've shouted in the church, we've run the aisles and testified big. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, we're walking the aisle, we're walking up and down the halls, trembling and shaking with indescribable fear as 10,000 times, 10,000 voices scream out at us with all these indescribable things. And so we are taking our place beside Him when we look at this and realize that there is depression and fear. Here we find a common bond with this man. But really, we're in good company. You know, sometimes in our desire to crank a service up, we'll just about unchristianize somebody that's sitting over here and they ain't got their hands up. Now it may be. It may be because they are carnal. It might be because they're fighting for their very life. It might be because they came into that service that night. They've been looking for some hope or help. Amen. And if you're not careful, when you throw a rock at them, you're liable to hit David. Or Jeremiah, who said, I have run with the footmen, and they've wearied me. What am I going to do? Amen. When the horses run. Have you been there? Have you looked at all of it and thought, my God, it's getting worse. What in the world am I going to do? Oh, help me today, Lord. I'll get to a message here. First of all, you know, if you look at this great man, you're tempted at first to wonder that he would be in such despondency. How can a man who has walked before the very powers of all the earth and said it ain't going to shut down the whole government and the whole country with one prayer? How can a man who's seen miraculous deliverances, the dead raised, how can a man who's called fire down from heaven and consumed a sacrifice, how can a man who's sent the rain back on the earth and then outrun a chariot all the way, how does this man get so disgruntled and discouraged? But when I got thinking about it, I thought, you know, that's where we are. The first thing that happened, when Jezebel sent that word to him and sent the warrant after him, he was standing at the gate of the city, but he was standing by himself. When the congregation should have been surrounding him and calling on him to be made prime minister, when the call came for help, he was by himself. Have you ever preached, drove hundreds of miles, left your family? Done all of it. Come on now and preach with me. And then you think, you fasted and you prayed. You begged God to move in the church. God's give you a move in the church. And you thought, well, sure, we're going to get it this time. 2 weeks later, they're right back where they were before. 10,000 voices screaming at you, you might as well quit. What good is it? So he finds himself. He said, after all I've done here, it really hasn't made any difference. That's the way it seemed when he was in that dark place. And so he girds up him and he runs to the wilderness. And he runs a day's journey into the wilderness and he falls down under a tree and he prays, God, just let me die right here. Ain't you glad that God ain't answered every prayer you prayed? Come on. Ain't you glad, amen, that God didn't answer? Listen, friend, sometimes it would have been easier to die and go on and be with the Lord than to face what He's calling you to walk through in this deep, dark valley where you are right now. Help me, Lord, today. Amen. I think I just might as well give up. But now here's the message that I came to bring to you. At Broxton today, God knows where you are. And He knows the journey that you're going through. And He heard you when you said, it's too great for me. I can't make it. I can't go on from here. I can't get through this. For you see, this man lays down and he prays in his despondency and his depression. God, I might as well just die right here under this bush. But instead of dying while he's sleeping, the angel of the Lord comes by, taps him, and says, rise and eat. And he finds a cake on the fire and a cruise in his head. And he eats and he drinks and he lays down and sleeps again. And again, the second time, the second blessing of the Lord came by and said, rise and eat, for the journey's too great for you. You see, pilgrim friend, God knows, amen, from earth to glory, amen, there's a journey that you can't make on your own. Oh, glory to God. He realizes, church, and the hour we're living in, there's a very small difference in comfort and chaos on this journey that you're on. I'm sad to tell you this morning, there's going to be some deserts that are dry and some valleys, amen, that are low, and some times of despondency when you feel like nobody cares and God forgot about that little church you're trying to pastor and God forgot about what you're trying to do when you pull that old truck down the road. When you walk down, now come on, when you walk down, when nobody was listening, as you said, God, don't you even care where I'm at? Don't you know that we're here? That's what they did that night when the storm raged. They said to him, Master, don't you care that we're about to drown right here? Every one of us, as we've come to, we must somehow learn to come to terms with the desert in our lives. Now I know that's contrary to the bless it and, you know, grab it and claim it and all this charismatic garbage. Let me tell you something. Every preacher, you know, I really believe that all these charismatic knotheads are these illegitimate children. I really believe that they are God's reward for us for not standing for holiness. How can a man justify flying in a Learjet, driving a chauffeur-driven car, amen, collecting multi-millions of dollars in the name of a man who never had a place to lay his head? How can he preach to you a gospel of prosperity when the master himself had to borrow a penny to have a sermon? It looks to me like that if Jesus was in that third, he'd tell every one of us, you're going to be rich. But he said the poor would have the gospel preached unto them. Amen. There are times, amen, of deep, dark depression. There are times of battles. Amen. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. If you ain't made your mind up to fight all the way through, you ain't going to make it. Amen. God says to him, this journey is too great for you. Now he's down in this valley saying, I want to die right here. God's saying, eat again, drink again, and head for the mountain. And he goes for 40 days on the strength of that handful on purpose, dropped in the way. And when he gets there, he finds himself probably in the same cave that Moses was in when God put his hand over it and walked by that cliff and the rock. And he said, preacher man, what are you doing here? He said, well, I'm here because I'm the only holiness preacher left in the whole country. There ain't another church nowhere preaching holiness. There ain't nobody cares to hear me anymore. Come on now, smile at me. There ain't nobody wants to. I'm here because they've tore down your altars. They threw out the old ways. They've got a whole bunch of new ways of doing things. And they just don't. We just don't fit in no more. And I'm the only one left and they're trying to kill me. You know? Listen. Let me tell you something, young preacher. God would rather you be honest as be a hypocrite. I mean, he don't want you praying, now, Father, I want you to condescend to come down where I'm at. Amen. He just go to the prayer, get on your knees, say, hey, God, I ain't liking one thing about this. This ain't suiting me no way, no how. I just want you to know, Lord, I know you know. Well, he knows already. But just go ahead and tell him, hey, I'm right here. There've been a few times, my friend, I said, God, you've got a lot more confidence in me than I have. Because you said you'd not put no more on me than I could stand. And I about stood all I can stand. I felt like Popeye. I've stood all I can stand because I can't stand no more. But you know what? I got through it. So he said to him, all of a sudden, the wind comes up that, you know the story, ripping up the trees, casting rocks like pebbles. The earth shakes and trembles. The fire burns and enfolds and burns and runs up the valley. And one fellow didn't believe and shout and said, you see, God ain't in all that noise. Said he spoke in a still small voice. I said, friend, when you get through the wind and the earthquake and the fire, all he's got to do is speak small. And he went out there and stood. And he said, now you, oh glory to God. He said, you are feeling like it's over. You're feeling like it's done. You're feeling like there ain't gonna no way out around it. But I tell you what you do. I want you to get your bottle of oil. And I want you to take this new vision that you got on the mountain up here and go back down in the valley. You said that nothing's changed. Everything's fixing to change. Everything's fixing to turn around. I want you to go down and now anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Go take care of that little problem. And while you're at it, just get Jehu. He'll take care of the rest of what's going on in Israel and throw your mantle over another man to preach out to your goal. And then we'll talk about going home. So I come to tell you today, amen, I know where we are. I know how long it's been here. But I'm here to tell you, amen, this is not a cave. It's a tunnel, and we're coming out on the other side. You can do what you want to, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a old-fashioned, heartfelt, Holy Ghost revival right in the middle of hell. If I didn't believe that the Holy Church was fixing to have a revival, I go back to the mountains, find the best coon dog I can find and just get lost in the hills. But I believe that I've been on the, now I know you ain't there yet, but I've been on the mountain. And I've seen the vision of what God's fixing to do. There's a fresh anointing. Amen. There's a move of a God. There's a last day outpouring. Yeah, God's going to come back after his church, but it ain't going to be an escape route because we couldn't stand it. But it's going to be a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It's going to be a church born in revival. During our youth camp this year, Brother Neil, Holy Ghost spoke in youth camp. I've never, as awesome, I've never heard it. In the youth camp. And he said, I will have, this is the essence of it, I'll have a church. I'll have a last day church that I'll work miracles through. That the dollars and the scoffers will be amazed at. Amen. Now, that's, that's what he's saying. He said, if I have to walk through this generation and pick up the next one to do it. Amen. If God has to bypass you because you're stuck like a bump on a pickle somewhere, you ain't interested in doing something for God, there's somebody that's going to do it. Amen. But I'll tell you what I've been. I've been up on the mountain. I took a long look at it. I decided to get my bottle of oil. Amen. At 64 years old. Amen. And do something for God. Amen. For the hour we're living in from here on out. I've decided to do some more preaching and some more anointing and some more moving of the Spirit of God. Amen. You got a new call. You're wanting to die. God's wanting to teach you how to fly. You're talking about dying here under the bush. God's talking about flying away. And so he says to him, you do this, you do that. And after all those things, oh, yeah, this guy that was a scared the death of one woman meets a bunch of people going to inquire of Beelzebub for the king. And he said, I know where you're going. So you go back and tell that feller that he ain't coming down off that bed. Well, they went back and told him. He said, well, what he looked like? They said, well, he's a hairy man. He's, that's Elijah. He said, go and get him. Take 50 crack troops and their captain and go arrest him and bring him here. They found him sitting on where? On the side of the mountain. He's on the mountain now. Don't mess with him. Man of God, come on down here. If I'm a man of God, let the fire from God come and burn you and your bunch up. And it fell. They ain't learned nothing. Devil never does learn nothing. Hey man, seem like, you know, for he's so smart, he's so dumb sometimes. Some of the things he tries to pull. The second one, same thing. And the third one comes and, oh, thou man of God, have mercy on us. Amen. Well, I want you to understand, after a while, friend, they're gonna look at you and say, of a truth, God said, I'll make them who are of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are, but they're a bunch of liars, I'll make them come and bow down at your feet and say, of a truth, God's in you. Even right now, amen, they wouldn't pay their tithes at Bond, no way. They wouldn't be seen at Bond. But 2 o'clock in the morning, when they need a move of God, whose phone rings? Why aren't you calling your pastor? Well, for one thing, he probably wouldn't answer at 2 o'clock in the morning, and because he'd be sleeping from watching the Loose and the Late Show. They may not live like us, but brother, they know how we ought to live. Amen, and they know how we are living. And when trouble comes, they'll come to us. I'm telling you right now, amen, take a new course, plot a new course, amen, head out of here, because we're not in the valley, we're just changing mountaintops. Well, I'm going to take a trip. You stay here, preacher. I'm going away. He said, oh no, if you go, I'm going. Where are you going? Well, God sent me to Bethel. Bethel. The house of God. Bethel. That's a pretty good place to start out again. Go back to church. Amen. Let's go back to church. I never have understood quitting. I never have stuck people taking the tuck head and leaving God because of trouble. Man, I had trouble before I ever found God. You know what? I'm not, Brother Neil, I've not run off from a lawman since I got saved. Now, before I got saved, I mean, I hadn't done nothing for a week. But when I seen that patrol car, the Bible said the wicked flee when no man pursues. Yeah, I had a bad time then. Oh, I just felt a little breathe on me. Let me tell you something. The worst day I've ever had living for God was better than the best day I ever had living in sin. Hey, amen. They may have talked about pleasure and sin. I never seen it. I seen some pacifiers, but I never seen a satisfier. Oh, glory be to God. I'm going to Bethel, the house of God. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to go back to the house of God. Amen. Something's always about to happen when you're having church. Wednesday night I preached at Bond. And Thursday night we drove that way an hour and a half from our place and we preached again. And Friday night we drove an hour and a half this way to be in church and testified on the same order again. You know why? And then we left at 6 o'clock yesterday morning, drove all the way down here. You know why? Because my Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. There's something about getting together with the people of God. There's something about coming together in like precious faith. Have you ever been so drugged down, so sick you couldn't hold your head up, hurting so bad? I don't understand, folks. Oh, help me, Lord. Pray, Ann. I don't understand, folks. Pray for me tonight. I'm sick. Going to the doctor in the morning. You mean you can go sit in the doctor's office 3 hours in the morning, you can't sit 30 minutes in church? I've been so sick that I thought, and have to drive me to church. I said, just get me in the church house. Amen. Just get me where the saints of God at. Sing me an old song of Zion. Let the Spirit of God go to moving. Amen. I don't know about you, but I shouted my way out and under so many troubles and so trials in the house of God. And so he said, I'm going to Bethel. He said, I'm going with you. When you go to church, I'm going with you. When you get in church, I'm going to be there. I know church is where you pay your tithes. That's where Jacob said, I'll tell you what, if you'll bless me, from here on out, 10% will be yours. It still is. Amen. It still is. Off the top. Before anybody else gets any of it. It's like I felt a little cold breeze there somewhere. I don't think it's the air conditioning either. And he said, all right, let's go to Jericho. Let's go to Jericho where the walls were so high and the first battle was fought. Let's go back to the old memorial and remember going to the house of God makes me remember all the memorials of the things that happened when God came by. You see, God knows, amen, that we can't make it, but there's some resources on the way.
All right. I'm a crossing Jordan. When you cross, I am. And the old Jordan rolls back. He said, all right, now what do you want? He said, I'll tell you what I want. I want a double portion of what you got. I want a double portion of your spirit. He said, you ask a hard thing, need no story, nevertheless. All of a sudden, as they two walked together and talked, all of a sudden a whirlwind and a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Here's a man not long ago was back yonder in the valley. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Back yonder in the valley praying to die. And now he's getting ready to fly. Hey, man, I want you to understand right now the devil's telling you it's over. You might as well quit. You failed the last time. Get up, buddy. Hey, man, try it again. Take one more run at the mountain. You can make it this time. As I said, I don't understand quitting. That's an instinct at me. That most people won't go on. I've had the devil come to me and say, if you let up, I will. I've had him come and say, boy, you down, ain't you? I said, yeah, but you come back tomorrow. You come back tomorrow. I'll be back up when I do. I was telling somebody last night that there's 17 of my family, half brothers and sisters and full brothers and sisters, and I was the baby. And they thought I was spoiled. But my mama said I wouldn't take spoiling. I was 6 years between me and my brother. He's 6 years older than me. Boy, was I ever a pain to him. Brother Lindley, he would get so mad that he'd finally slam me down, jump right a straddle of me and pull my nose, slap my jaws, pull my hair, and me a gritting and a grating. And he'd say, now, son, if you behave, I'll let you up. And I'd look at him when he quit slapping on me, and I'd say, you got to sleep sometime, son. And when I get up in here, I'm going to bean your head with a rock. And finally, he'd get tired of whooping on me, you know, and he'd take me out there. There's a big old pond down there. He'd roll me to the bottom of it and run to the house while I was getting up. Well, I just tell you something. I feel like it's time you tell the devil, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir up here. Remember, that's where all the preachers are at. Amen. And if we don't get it, they ain't going to never get it. The river never gets any higher than the source. Amen. But I feel like we need to tell the devil, hey, we have took the tuck head long enough. I took another look. I climbed up that mountain. And as Ann said, the higher you get, you say, preacher, you ain't never been in anything. Since January of this year, it's been the roughest year I ever had in my life. In January, we made our minds up. We covenanted with God. We're going to do more for God than we ever have. We said, before time runs out. And you know what? It got worse every day. And I speak as a fool, and you know that I'm not bragging. But we got to heading down here, and she got to hunting me a pair of blue jean breeches. And we ain't bought none for a while. And she said, so I'm trying to find one that the knees ain't wore out in. Yes, sir. I've been on my face. I've been on my knees more than I ever have. But you know what? I feel more like starting a fight right now than I ever have in my life. I feel more like telling you we're going to charge hell. We're going to take back what the devil took away from us. We're going to have them. God will have a hole in his church. Amen. I'm going to be part of it. Amen. You want to die. But away he flies. Oh, God's got some great plans for you. That's my message today. It goes on for a while, and then I see him again. Years and centuries have gone by. Oh, cool, cool. And up on the mountain stands Moses and Elijah. And Christ comes up that mountain. And I thought about this last night. Brother Archie told me when we got old, that we could wander around some, you know. And you know what? I love this old man right here. Amen. I know you all do. You've had a reason to for years. But oh, he climbed in my shirt pocket when I was here last year. But I thought about this last night. That old preacher man said that when that daddy brought his boy to the disciples to cast that demon out of him, and they couldn't do it. You know where Jesus is at? He's on the Mount of Transfiguration. That old preacher said, I believe them boys said something about like this. They said, now, he ain't here right now. But he'll be back. And if you'll wait till he gets back. Well, I feel like telling us right now, I know we're pitiful. About the pitifulest bunch of people you've ever seen without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I know sometimes we try to have church and seem like he ain't there. But don't get discouraged and don't leave us, because we're the people he comes back to. If you'll just stay here a day or two, he'll be back. And when he gets back, everything's going to be all right. But he walks up that mountain. There stands them two old patriarchs there. As he walks up there, changes. Amen. He begins to glow from the inside out, transfigured before them. The disciples fall down dumbstruck, but they're talking. What are they talking about? They're talking about what's fixing to happen in Jerusalem. You remember Elijah when you was laying back there praying to die? You thought nothing's going to ever change. There'd never be any victory. There's another mountain right over there I want you to look at. Look at that mountain right over there. It's called Mount Calvary. On Mount Calvary, amen, there's going to be total, absolute, complete a victory for ever and ever and ever over all the powers of the enemy. For the Bible said they talked of his end that should be accomplished at Jerusalem. He said, oh, Elijah, take a look. When they raise that cross and it thumps in the ground, sin is defeated. Evil has been conquered. For if I be lifted up. That's why we're going into the highways and the byways and finding the halt and the crippled and the lame and the blind and tell them to come on into the house of God. Amen. There is nobody you can't get low enough that the blood can't reach you. Hallelujah. And so I want to say to us, amen, let's rise up. Let us eat and feast together. The journeys are going to be long and hard. But in the end, we win. We win. Years and years ago, God dealt with my heart that we could have and would have a last day revival. And I preached it at Richlands. Contrary to what a lot of people's believing. They're talking about looking for all that's going on, you know. And one fellow told me, he said, I'm looking to go through the great tribulation. He said, we'll know who's holy then. I looked at him and smiled as sweet as I can. And I said, I hope you miss it, buddy. I said, because if you don't, you'll knock somebody down the line to take the mark. Me? I said, yes, sir. I said, you ain't got enough of God to preach against this new style. You can't even hold your church right now. You're going to stand? No. That's why I'm so popular. But I told him, I said, listen, I know I'm flying in the face of everything that's been taught right now. But I said, I believe in a last day outpouring of the Holy Ghost when God shall restore unto his church all those things that's been eaten away. And when I was studying on this message, and all of a sudden I just had to scoot back from the desk and whirl around a little bit because I heard him say, I'm the God of restoration. I'm going to restore. And so I'm going on record right now. You said, well, brother, I don't want to get out on a limb. You ain't never gotten a tree. Don't worry about getting a limb. But I'm going to go right on a limb and tell you, this church he's coming back after will be a glorious church, full of power, full of signs, full of wonders, full of miracles. Amen. The great power of God will be manifested among us again, because God said, I'm going to restore. All he's looking for is somebody that will get up and climb back up a mountain. Take a few bites of this thing and live. Amen. But I preached it. Elder Savage was there. And I'm telling you that to tell you this. Especially if you're pastoring a small church. L.D. Savage said, I went home and I went to my prayer closet and said, I said, Lord, I just heard a man preach that we're going to have a revival. Now you're talking to a man that lived in the days of the old revivals. Amen. That preached among them. That preached with them. And he said the Holy Ghost spoke to him, Brother Daniel, and said, I'm going to send revival. But said, it won't be like it was before. There'll be no big national heroes. There'll be none that'll take it unto themselves. I'll send revival when my people that are gathered together in the hollers and in the hills and on the side of the mountain that have come together and sought the face of God, my wholeness people, I'll send revival among them. It'll start with them. And so I want you to know, you go home from this meeting looking for a move of God in your church. Let it start among us. Let it start with us. Us holding together where two or three are gathered together. Let it start with us. We're fixing to have a breakout. Yes, sir. Just climb back up the mountain one more time. Elijah was a man. As we are, God understands that you've been down. He understands that you've had a battle with your nerves. He understands that you've had a battle with that fear. But he also understands There's a cake of bread right here. There's a cruise of water right here. Amen. That if you eat this, you can go on the strength of it for 40 days until you get high enough on the mountain till you say, God, I don't want to resign. I want to be far. I want to volunteer for the front lines. I just seen something coming in here. You've got old. You feel like the world's want to pass you by. But Caleb said, I said 40 years ago, God gave me a promise. Now we're here. Joshua, I want my mountain. But now don't you understand, old man, there's a bunch of giants up there. That's right. But don't you understand, I'm a giant killer. Now, they tell me, some of the commentaries tell me that Caleb came from a family that was blacksmiths by trade. And I heard this old black preacher years ago, and he said, for 40 years, said, while they was having a funeral every day, said, every time they stopped, said, Caleb fired up his forge and made weapons. He filled his wagon with. And so there came a day. And he said, give me my mountain. Well, that old black preacher said, you know, it went on a few days. And said, somebody said, Rick, we ought to go check on Caleb. And that bunch went with him. Said, they probably up on the side of the mountain somewhere, dead by now. This is a story. Said they got to coming up that mountain. Said they got up there a little pieces. They heard something going cling, clang, clang, clang. Had old blacksmith hammer a beating. He said they finally turned around the corner and there was old Caleb with his forge a making hoes, plows. Because he done whooped every giant on the mountain and planned a garden. I want you to know tonight, today, this morning, I come to tell you, hey man, it ain't over. You ain't seen nothing yet. Hey man, you ain't got, hey man, you may have been down this one old squirrel rifle, but make every shot count. Hey man, let's fight this battle because we're about to come out of here with a victory like you ain't seen for a while. Oh, hallelujah. I'm trying to quit. I don't know how long I'm a priest, but I just, this is a message. Brother Lynn, when you started last night, amen. You probably felt like you didn't do too good, but I tell you what I felt like. I felt like, amen, amen, amen. We come over there last night and said, you got it now, ain't you? Said, that's right out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. Go tell somebody Jesus Christ is here. Amen. And when he gets in the house, things are different. Amen. He might not always be here. He might not be in the first song or the second song, but he don't leave us alone. And when he comes, things change and you change and victory is not. In the valley, you're just changing mountaintops. Amen. Amen. You ain't a fixing to die, you're a fixing to fly higher than you've ever known before. Amen. God's going to do a work for us. Ain't you glad that you didn't leave Ain't you glad you didn't leave? Ain't you glad you stayed? Amen. Tried it one more time. One more time. Ain't you glad that you've seen the vision again? That you're still, there's still some anointing to do, preacher man. There's still some singing to do, church. There's still some work out there. There's still some harvest. And God, I want you to know today, God knew you'd be here. I just felt the Lord touch me. God knew you'd be here. And He knew all these times when I've heard you crying, it seemed like I heard you. And you thought nobody cares. Nobody understands. Nobody. And Jesus has heard every one of them. And He's brought you to this meeting to do business with you. And you're going to go forth from here. I'm going to tell you how much God loves you. A fella called me the other day and said, I got a call from a fella. He told me his name. I didn't even reckon, remember his name. He said he didn't know how to call you, but he knew how to get me. And said he didn't want to pray. He said, I want you to find that man to pray. So I won't tell you why. Years and years ago, a young man got in an altercation, a fight, didn't mean to, but somebody wound up dead. He never could come back to the church. He said he'd try. He said, I don't know how many times I'd go to the altar and pray. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. But said something, I would say, well, you knew better. Why do you stay here? You know something. He said, so I heard about you having this man from Kentucky coming down to your church. And said, we drove across the country, got a motel. Said about 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, I was laying there thinking, God, if you don't speak to me, God, will you never speak to me again? And he said, all of a sudden, thunder rolled. Lightning flashed in the crack of the thunder. And he said, I heard a voice out of the thunder saying, a man of God will give you a word of God today. 4 o'clock that morning, I was down in that little place they had me praying. And I heard the Lord saying, a voice of thunder, I want you to preach on the biscuit eater. Okay. You are, but you shall be. Uh-huh. You're this, but you're going to be. He said, when that preacher walked in that pulpit that morning, he said the first words he said was, God spoke to me in the thunder for somebody here this morning. And he said, I got back to God. God loves you. The devil's a liar. But preacher, you don't know. It don't matter. You hear me? It don't matter. You're breathing. You're breathing. It don't matter. I just feel a following after the Lord here. It don't matter. God knows. And He's here to do business with you today. He heard you. And He loves you. And if God didn't care a bit more for that old fella from way down there in the bayous than He does for us right here today. I feel the Holy Ghost coming in here. I don't know how I'm supposed to end this, but I'm going to end this with an altar call this morning. I just feel like telling somebody, amen. God don't want us to get the glory for it. He wants the glory. You don't come to a man this morning, but if you'll come to do business with God on these altars this morning, I believe God will start a transaction that'll be a completion before you leave this meeting this week. And you'll go out of here saying, I'm going back home. Amen. I'm going to take something back with me, and we're going to start a fire. And if we start a fire over here and over there and over there and over there, it'll begin to burn until we have a move of God. And that revival will come in. And I believe I know America's sinking. I'm not preaching to save America. America deserves everything, and I love this country. But they deserve everything that we deserve. The ships are sinking. I know that. But I'm going to send every rifle out there I can to get everybody wants to get off and get on this old ship of Zion. That's what we're going to be doing right now. Somebody will come to the piano and give us a song today. This all right?
Yes, please.
All right. Would you all stand with me? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. I need to pray in church right now. I need to pray in church. If you're on the mountain, if you understood what I've said, but God's brought you out and you're thankful for it, reach out to somebody that's beside of you, somebody sitting back there that you know that they're in it. They're into it. They're into it. And tell them, come on, you can make it. You can make it. God's going to do it again right here and right now in this meeting. As they sing the song, I'm going to invite you to come to an altar. I want the Spirit of the Lord to have His way. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I break every power of doubt. I bind every spirit of unbelief in the authority of heaven right now. I speak deliverance for everyone that will dare to walk to an altar this morning and call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Sing the song, children. The altars are open. Let's pray.